Welcome to The Bridge, the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Paul Brown. Please open your Bibles to the book of Philemon as Pastor Paul brings the concluding message of this five-part series, Philemon, An Appeal to Forgive.
Jesus is the bridge, the way to life eternal. Come and see, come and live, come and grow. Come and see, come and live, come and grow.
Some people might ask, Pastor, why did you take 5 weeks to cover such a short book as Philemon? My answer would probably be because I didn't want to take 5 months. That's probably how much time we should have spent covering this very, very difficult topic of forgiveness. Forgiving and restoring is a very, very challenging thing to do, and there's not very many people that do it very well. But there is a word that I'm going to share with you today that I believe can be the game changer. It's a word that can help you not just in this particular area of forgiving someone, reconciling, restoring a relationship, but it can help you in every area of your life. It's a word that strikes fear in the hearts of most people, even though it should bring great joy and comfort. Now, in the secular world, business managers set up structures for it. Military personnel are currently being called to it. Political candidates emphasize it for their opponents. School administrators demand it of their teachers and students. And yet most of us cry foul when others don't have it. But so few practice it in their personal lives, and fewer yet practice it in their spiritual life. The Bible calls us to it repeatedly. But in our culture, for some reason, we are the independent, autonomy is king generation. We ignore this word and we struggle along on our own. But if you're willing to practice it, there's potential for dramatic life change. And so I want to talk to you today about a critical word. A number of years ago, Chuck Swindoll and another man were doing a survey of over 200 pastors that fell into immorality and had to leave the ministry. They found that this one thing was missing in their lives. There were several things missing in their lives, but this one was horribly missing. What's that word? It's the word accountable. Accountability is something that is missing in our culture, in many areas, and definitely in our churches. This word is a critical word. And so I want to ask you a profoundly personal question, and I want you to answer as honestly as you possibly can. Are you consistently growing as a disciple of Jesus Christ in every area of your life? Are you? Don't explain it, just yes or no. Could you classify yourself as one that is regularly overcoming by faith? Are you more than a conqueror? Do you go to bed each night with a clear conscience and great joy because you live that day entirely for the glory of God? Are you consistent in your spiritual disciplines? Are you excited about leading someone to faith in Jesus Christ because you then would have the fun of training them to be a mature, reproducing disciple? Or are you finding yourself struggling with areas of your life where you can never seem to win, going to bed at night feeling guilty, failing to find any consistency in your times with God, and having absolutely no confidence that you could ever disciple someone to maturity? The difference, I believe, is accountability. God never designed us to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil on our own. You see, Jesus saved us and called us together into his body, the church, so we could worship him together with gladness and sincerity of heart. That sincerity again, that transparency, honesty, what you see is what you get. I can be honest with you. I can come and tell you my joys, my struggles, my fears, my heartaches, and you'll be there for me, and you'll help me, and I'll help you because we need each other. We see this in the one another passages all through the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. We see this in 1 Corinthians 12:14, body life, people with spiritual gifts, employing them not for their own edification, but for the building up of others in the body. We see this in Hebrews 3:13. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That word encourage could also be the word admonish, exhort, reprove. It's both and. It's positive and negative. It's whatever that person needs to go forward and win. And so the Bible's clear about this. Yet we fight it. We resist it to our own demise. So as we come to the conclusion of this little epistle to Philemon, Paul tactfully calls Philemon to be accountable to what Paul has challenged him to do. Now, by quick review, we saw the introduction, the setting, then Paul's appreciation of Philemon for the character that he had. He was a family man, a faithful man, a fruitful man. Then in verses 8 through 20, Paul appealed to Philemon and told him the motives for forgiveness. Forgive for love's sake. Forgive for your own sake, Philemon. Forgive for Onesimus' sake, the man who's offended you. And then Paul says, forgive for my sake, and ultimately for Jesus' sake. And now as we come to the end, we now see the accountability of Philemon. This is the mentoring of one who forgives. And boy, do we need a mentor in this area. See, what is mentoring? Well, I looked this word up. Mentoring is a developmental relationship between a more experienced mentor and a less experienced partner referred to as a mentee or protege. So the mentor is an experienced and trusted advisor. He commits to serve as a guide, counselor, and teacher for another person. This is what Paul did for so many people. You might notice in the book of Acts, he rarely ever traveled alone. He constantly had men with him so he could train them on the job. And one of the guys he mentored at a point in his life was this man, Philemon. And now, from a distance, he wants to hold Philemon accountable. Accountability is critical. It's often used synonymously with concepts like answerability, responsibility, blameworthiness, and even liability. At its root, it involves either the expectation or assumption of account-giving behavior. I have a relationship with someone where I am willing to give account. You can ask me anything at any time about whatever area of my life you want to know, and I will give you an honest answer. That's accountability. I can tell you what God requires of you, then I can hold you accountable to go out and do it. That's a wonderful thing. And this is expected, as I said before, in business where you have to give quarterly reports. It's expected in sports where you have to be tested for PEDs. There's instant replay even for umpires to hold them accountable, etc. But for some reason, we have a hard time with this in the church. I don't really get it. The reason we're in the church is because we admit we're sinners and we need help. We admitted that we need a Savior, and then after we're saved or justified, we think we can do sanctification on our own. We can't. And this is what saddens me about most churches, where people want to do it on their own, and then they're not sincere, they're not honest, they're not transparent, they're not willing to be accountable, and they struggle with the same weaknesses over and over and over, year after year after year, while hiding it from other people. I believe accountability is desperately needed in the church today, as it was in the first century. So at the conclusion of this little epistle to Philemon, Paul tactfully calls him to accountability to three mentors. The first one is Paul himself, verse 21 and 22. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you since I know that you will do even more than what I say. At the same time, also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. Notice how Paul starts with encouragement. That is a blessing in an accountable relationship. He lets Philemon know, I know you can do it. I've asked you to do something that is really, really tough to do, but I want to instill hope in you. I believe in you. I believe you can do this by the power of God. How great would it be to have a mentor like that? Someone who believes in you. Someone who knows you can be obedient. Someone who knows you can overcome the flesh. Someone who knows that you can stand firm and do the right thing even when you don't want to. Obedience. Now, earlier, Paul made reference to the fact that he wouldn't order Philemon to do the right thing in verse 8, and now he points out obedience. See, what Paul is saying is, I believe in you, brother, and I know you can be obedient. And sometimes in the Christian life, that's what it comes down to. I don't always feel good about what I'm supposed to do. I don't always want to get up in the morning and read my Bible and pray. I don't always want to be godly on the freeway. I don't always have a spiritual high when I do the right thing. Sometimes I don't want to forgive people. and I certainly don't want to pay the price for their sins. And frankly, when I sin, I don't often want to admit it, and I don't often want to go ask others to forgive me. It just comes down sometimes to I need to do it out of obedience. It's the right thing to do, and I'm going to do it whether I feel like it or not. But I got to say, it's a whole lot easier when I'm accountable to someone, and they're going to ask me the tough questions. So Paul says, I believe you can do it. And then he says, I believe you'll even do more than what I say. Now, some people think this is a hint that he would not only forgive Onesimus, but free him. Some see it as a subtle attack on the institution of slavery. I think that's stepping over. That's just reading into the text. Others see it that Paul is letting Philemon know that he doesn't have to spell out all the details because Philemon's the kind of man he knows will do more than what he's asked to do. What a great thing that would be. It's like in Luke 17, when the servant's been working out in the field all day, comes in and wants to rest, and the master says, no, 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 before you rest, you go ahead and fix my meal and take care of me. And then the slave says this. This is powerful. We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. I've only done that which I was commanded to do. I should have done more. Paul says, I believe that's the kind of heart you have, Philemon. Why did Paul have this confidence? Well, because he knew he'd mentored him that way. Paul had modeled that, and Philemon had the benefit of seeing Paul live that way, and Paul had the benefit of seeing Philemon live that way in the past. And secondly, Paul prayed for that in verse 6, that the fellowship of Philemon's faith would be effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ Jesus. Paul had mentored, and Paul had prayed, and he saw that this would be true. Would it be difficult for Philemon to forgive Onesimus and treat him like an intimate part of the family? Yes, of course. It's not easy to forgive. Would it be easier if he had someone like Paul as a mentor who was praying for him and telling him that he knew it could do it? Of course he would. Oh, friends, why then would we run from something like this? We so desperately need these kinds of mentors in our lives. If you've just joined us, you're listening to The Bridge. This is the radio ministry of the Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. I'm Pastor Paul Brown, and we are concluding our study of the book of Philemon, where Paul appeals to him to forgive a runaway slave who actually even stole from him. What's the application from this first part? Do you have a mentor in your life? Do you have someone to whom you are willingly accountable? If you don't, why not? If you don't, prayerfully seek someone out as soon as possible. How about this? Are you a mentor to others like that? Are you holding others accountable to grow in the difficult areas of life? If not, prayerfully become more like that to the people that are in your life so you can bless them immensely. Paul is clearly a good mentor in verse 21, and as such, he goes on in verse 22 to emphasize accountability. He says, at the same time, also prepare me a lodging. Now, this is a funny thing to say right in the flow of the context here. What's he talking about? Well, Paul is essentially inviting himself over to Philemon's house or some other lodging nearby so he can see for himself that Philemon has not only done what he has asked, but has gone above and beyond the call of duty. That's accountability. I'm going to come and see, so you pray that I get out of jail so I can come and see that you have forgiven your slave. So many times people go, oh no, the pastor's coming over for dinner. Put away the dust off the family Bible. Put it on the coffee table. Wow. No, no, no. Philemon's accountable. And now get this, he knows he has a deadline. Paul's going to be released through his prayers, and then Paul's coming to his house, and he's got a deadline to make sure he follows through on what he knows is the right thing to do. Accountability then goes to a deeper level. He says, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. I have a confident expectation. That's what the hope means. I believe firmly that because of your prayers I will be given to you. This is an interesting word. It means to give freely or graciously as a favor. Here's what Paul is saying. I believe that as you are praying for me, God is going to get me out of this jail, and God is graciously going to answer your prayers and allow me to come and be involved in your life and hold you accountable to do what you ought to do with Onesimus. What a beautiful thought. What a beautiful way to view prayer. Prayer is calling upon God to give freely or graciously as a favor to his precious children. And one of the most gracious favors God can do for Philemon is to bring a godly man back into his life and hold him accountable. Paul knows that only God can give Paul back to Philemon to continue as a mentor, and he knows that he's praying. So Philemon, he's saying, keep praying that I'm set free from this prison so I can come and see you and hold you accountable. I want you to want accountability, Philemon. I want you to pray for it to be true. That's great mentoring. Encourage someone to be an intercessor, and then come hold them accountable. Now, what's interesting in the Greek text here is it's singular until here where he then says, your. He says here that he wants the whole church praying that he will be set free. I'll be coming because of your prayers. So now, Philemon, it's not just you. I want the whole church to pray that I can come and minister in your life once again. You're not just accountable to Paul. You're accountable to Apphia, Archippus, and the whole church. So what's he saying here? Philemon, I know you're going to do more than I ask here because you have proven to be an obedient man. So prepare a place for me to come and visit you because I'm confident that the prayers of all of you will lead to my being released. Now let me ask you a question. How do you pray for Paul to be released from prison, but not release Onesimus, who is the very heart of the Apostle Paul? What a challenge. So Philemon is to be accountable to Paul and the entire church. He's also accountable, secondly, to other leaders. Verse 23 and 24, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. These are all noted Christian leaders that are sending their greetings to Philemon. Now, the same list is given in Colossians 4:10 and following, with one possible exception. Colossians 4 mentions six people, including someone called Jesus Justice, that doesn't appear, at least doesn't appear to appear here. Philemon only mentions five. Colossians, he mentions six. But it is possible that you could put a comma after Jesus, or after Christ here, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, and then Jesus greets you, as do Mark, Harrison, and you would have the same list. But be that as it may, he says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner. Who is that? This is not the Epaphroditus who's associated with the Philippian church. This is Epaphras, who had been the pastor in the church where Philemon is. So he's saying, hey, Philemon, your pastor is here with me, and he's holding you accountable. He's aware of the situation. He also wants you to forgive Onesimus. And then there's Jesus Justice, and then there's Mark. Mark who? John Mark, the cousin of Barnabas that blew it so bad in Acts 15 that Paul would not have anything to do with him anymore. This caused Barnabas and Paul to split. Paul would not forgive this man. Barnabas took him away for several years, trained him, mentored him, made him useful, brought him back to Paul, so that at the end of Paul's life, he's on the team again with Paul. What had to happen? Paul had to forgive Mark for abandoning him in the middle of a critical job. Could Philemon do any less with Onesimus? Here, Mark is there saying, hey, brother, Paul forgave me when I ran off. You need to do the same with Onesimus. Then there's Aristarchus, a traveling companion of Paul. Demas, get this, a man who 5 years later will depart from the faith. A hypocrite, a phony, not sincere. Says in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Get this, Demas earlier is one who's holding others accountable and ultimately refused to be held accountable and ran off and departed from the faith when it got difficult. Then there's Luke, the Gentile physician and traveling companion of Paul, the author of Luke and Acts. What a list of guys sending their greetings to Philemon, aware of the situation, holding him accountable to do the right thing. Oh, my friends, that's what the church ought to be. That's what leaders of the church should do. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Have leaders in your church you can follow who model for you the right way and hold you accountable to do the same thing. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. So Philemon was accountable to Paul and the church, and he was accountable to other leaders. And finally, verse 25, he's accountable directly to God. Now, don't skip this verse just because there's something similar to it at the end of virtually every letter Paul wrote. Verse 25 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." That is so common, we often just skip over it. But don't do it. It's at the end of Philippians and Galatians and 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians and 2 Timothy. Paul says it over and over and over again for very good reasons. And one of them is that we are accountable to God, who will always be with us and who always gives us the grace necessary to obey. Jesus, when he gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, said, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'll never leave you. I've challenged you to go reach the whole world, and I will be there to empower you to do it. Whatever I command you to do, I will give you the resources to do it by my grace." This isn't something you deserve. You didn't earn this. You're not such a great Christian that you're going to somehow drum up this power yourself. This comes from God. Daniel Webster said this quote. I love this. He said, quote, "My greatest thought is my accountability to God," unquote. He's saying the most profound thing I can ever think is how I am accountable to God. Imagine how you live if you really believe that. I think that's what Proverbs says when it says we should fear the Lord. That's where knowledge and wisdom comes from. So Paul encourages Philemon with his prayers. He challenges him with his words and example. He holds himself accountable to himself and others. And now he reminds Philemon that God's infinite, amazing grace is available to him in the depth of his spirit. Paul is saying, what I have asked you may sound impossible. You might hear yourself saying things like, "I'm only human. You don't know how deeply I was hurt. You don't know what this person did to me. Nobody knows the trouble I am experiencing. And I am perfectly understandable that a person would have nothing to do with someone like this after what they did." And you may have those words going on inside your head, but those aren't the words of God. That's from the world, the flesh, and the devil. What Paul is saying is God's infinite, undeserved, all-powerful grace is available to you in the depth of your heart. God can change your deepest feelings. He can remove your anger and bitterness. He can flood your heart with compassion. His gift to you, forgiveness, restoration, and reconciliation, is a gift that you can give to others. God can change anything, and his grace is always available. And by the way, the word "your" there again in your spirit is plural. Paul's not just exhorting Philemon, he was exhorting the church, and he's still exhorting us today. God's amazing grace is available in the deepest part of us to enable us to obey. Let's wrap this up. Forgiveness and genuine reconciliation are difficult things for us to practice. It requires godly character. It requires the right motives. It requires accountability and mentoring. We can change. We can grow. We can overwhelmingly conquer through Jesus. Philemon shouts out to us to not only obey in those areas, but to go even further. Is there someone in your life that you're at odds with today? Do your part to be reconciled and give yourself a deadline. And then let somebody else know you're going to do it so they can hold you accountable. Are you struggling to obey? Let alone go beyond it? Seek out a mentor and tell them you want to be held accountable. Get serious about growing, and then go with a sincere faith to a world that needs God's amazing grace. God bless you as you apply the truths from this little book.
We hope you have enjoyed this 5-part study, Philemon, An Appeal to Forgive. If you missed any of these messages, please go to our church website, thebridgebiblefellowship.com, click on the Bridge Radio button, then scroll down and listen to any of the messages you have missed. If you don't have a church home, please join us. Our Sunday worship service is at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages at 10:45 a.m. We are located at 18644 Sherman Way in Reseda, California. And please join us next Saturday at 7:30 a.m. on 99.5 KKLA.